It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Greetings to you, and welcome to the show. So glad you could join us. On today's show, our guest is Dr. Jonathan Wheeler, a board-certified gynecologist and obstetrician who has served as chairman and vice chairman of the Hoag Hospital Departments of Obstetrics and Gynecology. That is an impressive resume and quite a mouthful. We are glad to grab you for a few minutes today. Welcome, Dr. Wheeler.
Thank you.
We want to start right off and talk about something that plagues many a woman in this country and across the globe, the problem of heavy menstrual bleeding. What are the causes of heavy bleeding?
Well, there's many causes for menstrual bleeding, and much of it's contingent upon the age of the patient and their background. Mm-hmm. But specifically, gynecologic issues that will bring patients to our office will include fibroid tumors or leiomyoma of the uterus, mm-hmm. Endometriosis, or a condition of the wall of the uterus called adenomyosis.
Okay.
Depending on the age of the patient, it may be related to different hormonal problems that they may be experiencing. Some of the women in the beginning of their cycles, as well as before their menopause, will experience fluctuations in their hormones that may relate to it. And finally, undiagnosed bleeding, such as malignancies, polyps, or overgrowth called hyperplasias of the lining of the uterus, may result in heavy or abnormal bleeding.
I hadn't heard that the fluctuation of hormones could cause heavy bleeding. Wow. Is it a neurological or a chemical? Tell us a little bit about that connection.
Well, the cycle of most women is pretty consistent throughout her reproductive years. But in the first few years, as well as in the last 5 years of her menstrual life, she may start to experience failure to release the egg, or what they call anovulatory bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
There are also many other women who, either due to medical conditions or due to overproduction of follicles in their ovaries called polycystic ovarian syndrome, may cause an overstimulation of their lining because of excess of androgen or estrogens in their body,
mm-hmm.
Or inadequate production of progesterone that will cause the lining to either thicken or form polyps, and in some cases can become neoplastic or cancerous in nature.
Wow. Okay. So luckily, Dr. Wheeler and company to the rescue. What treatment options are there for heavy bleeding?
Well, the treatment really is predicated on the diagnosis and the workup. So first and foremost, you have to look at the patient's age and their medical conditions,
mm-hmm.
where they are in their reproductive life, and if they're on any hormone therapy such as birth control pills or IUDs. Once the workup has been done, you're going to try to narrow it down to different conditions such as fibroids, endometriosis. If there are fibroids, where in the uterus? Are they inside the cavity causing heavy bleeding or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, if they have hormonal imbalances or imbalances of the lining of the uterus, these can be worked up with either office hysteroscopes, where we can look inside the office, or do an endometrial biopsy or an ultrasound to see what's going on with the lining of the uterus. Once the diagnosis is made, then the treatment options will either be based on correcting the hormonal imbalance, either with birth control pills or mm-hmm. progesterone therapy. The second option will be to try to eradicate the smaller problems in the uterus, such as polyps or fibroids inside of the uterus, which can grow, and those are usually done through hysteroscopic means. The hysteroscope can be done in the outpatient setting. It's a very quick procedure where you can go in and remove fibroids or polyps and try to correct the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some patients, regardless of these techniques, will go on to have bleeding because they have more involved diseases of the uterus, such as adenomyosis or larger fibroids. And those patients will usually require some more aggressive therapies. Initially, we can try endometrial ablation,
okay.
Where we try to go in and destroy the lining of the uterus, and there's about 11 different devices that are commercially available. And finally, if those are not working, or if the patient has other causes, such as fibroids or enlargement of the uterus, many of those patients will ultimately end up with hysterectomy.
Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit more about ablation. If you have an ablation, are you then through having a family?
Yeah, ablation is meant to be after you're done with your childbearing, because you're taking away the lining that's responsible for the growth of a pregnancy.
Exactly.
So you want to make sure
women should know what the word ablation means and what the impact is.
Well, ablation is basically the thermal or the microwave destruction of the lining of the uterus, and There are many different devices on the market that are designed to basically destroy the endometrium, which is the inner lining of the uterus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Most of these are done in the operating room. I do perform many in my office, depending on the patient and the needs of the patient.
Ladies, the hysteroscope is your friend. It really is. It's a game changer. You know, heavy bleeding is not just heavy bleeding. I mean, talk about the things that it can cause, including anemia.
Well, anemia is basically one of the end products of heavy bleeding. And for many patients, the amount of blood loss that they experience each month is subjective. So as a physician, we have to check their blood counts.
Mm-hmm.
And anemia comes from excessive loss or inadequate production. So those are all going to be evaluated at the initial diagnostics.
Right. So if you're So please continue your thought.
So at the end of the day, basically, most of the patients with heavy bleeding or menorrhagia are going to end up with excessive loss, and we're going to have to figure out a way hormonally or surgically to try to alleviate that bleeding.
Right. And luckily, you have many, many options. You can often help a woman with pelvic pain as well.
Correct. Pelvic pain is usually associated with fibroids, endometriosis, adenomyosis, or chronic inflammatory disorders of the pelvis.
Why do you think they call endometriosis the working woman's disease?
Because for years it was something that was discovered a little bit later in life. A lot of the working women will have childbearing later in life. And some of the demographics of endometriosis and its potential hereditary patterns are more predisposed to the women who are basically working.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Hoag's gynecologic robotic surgery program.
The whole push in the industry for the last couple of decades has been to make big incisions small.
Mm-hmm.
And by making big incisions small, we're able to not only improve patient satisfaction, but that's done in a myriad of ways, including shorter hospitalizations, less blood loss, less complications postoperatively. So the advent of minimally invasive surgery, whether it was gallbladders or prostates, and in our field it's gynecologic surgery, is really based on how we can try to go in there and do the best for the patient so that she can recover quickly,
mm-hmm.
resume her normal activities, and get back to her daily activities in a more ready fashion. You know, when I came out of UCLA in 1990, we were doing mostly abdominal hysterectomies, and I always felt badly as the patients would walk in at 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They'd have children at home, and they'd be bent over still in pain.
Mm.
So it's my mission and the mission of a lot of the talented doctors at Hoag to try to convert our hysterectomies to minimally invasive, first with laparoscopic means and now with the new robot. The robot, in my opinion, is kind of like laparoscopy on steroids. What it does is it gives us an advantage of being able to get better dexterity in the abdomen.
Sure.
Through what they call endo-wrist technology, we're able to suture more easily because of the ability to bend the end of the instruments with the wrists that are built into a three-dimensional visualization field.
That the human hand doesn't have the ability to do.
Yeah, the cases are quicker. There's less blood loss. There's less postoperative pain. And in most of my hysterectomies, they're either going home from the recovery room a few hours after surgery,
mm-hmm.
And some of the patients, given the predisposing factors of their surgery, may stay overnight, but just about all of them will go home the following morning within a 24-hour period of their admission.
Incredible.
More importantly, we've shortened that six-week recovery to about 6 days now. So,
right.
You know, when I hear patients walk in and say, oh, I don't want to have a hysterectomy, I've got to stay in the hospital for mm-hmm. 3 days, and I'm out of work for 6 weeks, and I can't afford that, I'm thinking that's 1980s mentality. I mean,
sure, absolutely.
Today we have a facility where we can bring a person in and have them back at work in less than 7 days.
I absolutely concur because I had it, and I was back at work in six.
There you go.
And it was wonderful. I called it my drive-by hysterectomy.
Well, we always want to remind patients that these small incisions do not in any way undervalue what we do inside.
Right.
So the biggest problem I have is slowing patients down. They want to go out and do too much, and the biggest complaint I have a week after is that they did too much and they're not feeling great.
Exactly. I know. But, sit on my hands. Because you do feel great. You wake up and you go, are you kidding me? I just had a hysterectomy. I feel fantastic.
Well, the surgeon's greatest flattery is the patient who tries to do too much, because it means that we've done our job right.
Absolutely. We have about 60 seconds. Is there a place where people can go a website or a phone number you'd like to give out?
Yes, we're actually on, you know, my website is jonathanwheelermd.com. Mm-hmm. I am on the Hoag website, and they can access our program, which is just starting up right now, the minimally invasive surgery program or the robotic surgery program. We're going to have a nurse navigator running this program in the next month or two, and the beauty of that is that it will be a seamless program, which is comprehensive in nature, and we'll be able to direct patients through it in a very facilitated manner.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jonathan Wheeler, for being on the program today and for all the great work you do. I'm Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. Stay tuned. There is much, much more ahead. We appreciate your listenership.